What I have before me is along the same line of thoughts as the other two. Fits in well with our chapter that we've been going through in the reading meeting. A much appreciated comment our brother made about what we've been going through in our chapter, especially the early part of the chapter in dealing with these different sins. And he said these things, they're symptoms. They're symptoms of a problem. They're symptoms of a state. And we can address the symptoms, and we can try to fix the symptoms. And he brought out how he had taken some medicine for some symptoms that he had, and they came back. And they kept coming back, and eventually the medicines didn't work anymore, and he had to go into something deeper. And they found what the real problem was. And they had to remove the real problem. And I'd like to look at a chapter here that is very much parallel to the things we've had in the early part of the chapter in Ephesians 5. Very parallel. If you look at them, they line up very closely. So if we could, please turn to the Galatians chapter 5. And as a little bit of a background, Galatians chapter 5 is very similar to the 7th chapter of Romans. In the 7th chapter of Romans, you have someone who's been born again and has come to a realization that there is a God, and that God has standards, and that this one in Romans chapter 7 is trying to live up to the standards and finds that it can't be done. And he comes to the point where he wants to do one thing and he does another. And he realizes that it's not himself that's doing it, but there's a power behind it. And so if we could turn to Galatians chapter 5, this is a very similar situation. Except this is something that I have found myself in, and many believers in this room have found themselves in, and that they are a born-again Christian. They not only have the life, but they also have been sealed with the Spirit. And yet we find ourselves back in that position of someone in Romans chapter 7, where they're in a struggle. And I want to present this, as it was presented very capably last weekend in Dorothy, that this is not normal Christianity. This is not what God has for us. He has for us that we can walk to please Him here today and not have this struggle in our life. So if we could, in Galatians chapter 5, and I'll start in verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Please put your finger there and just, as I read them, kind of compare them to the things that we have in Ephesians chapter 5. The works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Or we could say etc. We know the list. In Ephesians 5, it says, ye were sometimes darkness. Before we were given new life, these were the only things that we could do. And this one in Galatians 5 is seeing these works of the flesh, and they are being manifest in their life. And the difficulty is we can sit there and not realize what God has done for us. Not be thankful for His work on the cross as has been brought out. And we can sit there and struggle in the situation and try in our own strength to walk a life pleasing to God, and in effect we've put ourselves back under the law. The third verse that I read in the fifth chapter of Galatians says, if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. The Spirit is not confined by the law, because a life in the Spirit does that which pleases God. We had a verse in our chapter in Ephesians I'd like to read, and I think it's a similar situation. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, or as we had it, as from among the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Someone who's sleeping, if there was someone sleeping on that table across the room, someone was sleeping on that table, I from looking here, and not one of the others of you looking here, looking at that person could tell if that one has life or not. There's no distinction from this distance if there's life or if that person is dead. You can't tell. They're motionless. There's no reaction. And we can find ourselves in this situation. The sad thing is, in Romans chapter 7, there's someone who has life and they realize the fault that they're in, but they have no power to do it. But in Galatians 5, there's someone here. And if you read down further on, it says in verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. One with life realizes that one with life realizes that sin is wrong. And if you are in Christ, it says you have crucified the flesh. This is something that has been done. You have realized that the flesh is wrong. It does the wrong things. And it says, and have crucified it and the affections and the lust thereof. And we realize that these things are wrong, and not only do we realize that we're wrong, we've condemned them and we've sentenced them to death, and they're hanging on a cross. And we're saying, that's wrong, that's evil. And when we get to that state, which I have and is not normal to Christianity, where we are walking after the flesh, we've come to the place where we're walking down a path of death. It says, when it is finished, brings forth death. That's not what God has for us. We see a conflict here in Galatians 5, what appears to be a conflict, and many struggle that it appears to be a conflict in the Christian life, but it isn't. In verse 17, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. It's presented as a contrast, but it's also the solution. If we're stuck in these things of the flesh, the solution is to walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I had it explained to me quite clearly yesterday that walking after or walking in means a whole lot more than just following someone. But for an example for now, if someone was walking down this aisle in that direction, and someone was walking in the same aisle down that direction, you couldn't follow both people. And if you try, you're stuck in the middle, and it seems hopeless. Perhaps we seem like we're in a hopeless situation in our life. God doesn't want that. I've enjoyed from the 103rd Psalm, if we would turn there briefly. This is a list of things that it's a psalm that goes over our benefits, what God has done to us. I've enjoyed this psalm many times in my life, especially after times where I found myself back in Galatians 5 or similar state to Romans 7. We have to come back to what I might say is a 103rd Psalm. Occupation with Christ and what he has done for us on the cross. And beyond that, as we had before, what he is doing for us, what he has planned for us, what his eternal counsels are, occupation with him and his things. And so Psalm 103 is directly looking at what the Lord has done for us. And so we look at these things here. Psalm 103, I'll read the first five verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I'd like to think a little bit about this youth being renewed like the eagles. A brother mentioned to me some years ago about this. Many kinds of birds, all birds will molt their feathers. Their feathers get old, they fall out, and new ones grow in. And there's some kinds of birds, like ducks, that when they're going through their molt, they lose their attractiveness. They aren't so pretty. They don't look good. And they can't fly because the feathers on their wings aren't developed. They have no heavenly character. The Lord is providing things that will satisfy our mouth so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. The eagle, it is dependent on its flight to survive. It doesn't just eat things from the bottom of the river or the pond. It has to fly around in order to be able to capture food. And the eagle, in God's provision for it, has provided a system where when they molt, the wings, the feathers on their wings that they're used for flying, they fall out one at a time and regrow in one at a time so that they always have a heavenly character. God has provided his word for us. May we be occupied with it and realize its goodness so that we can continue in our heavenly character and not appear as though we are sleeping. I'd like to look at two other situations in comparison to this. It has to do with a door and a state of sleeping or not knowing what condition we're in. One is in Revelation chapter 3, which we're going through in our reading meetings in Dorothy. In Revelation chapter 3, and the last of these seven epistles, to the angels of the churches, and to everyone that has an ear. I see a lot of people in this room that have ears, so let's hear. These ones in Laodicea, I won't, for sake of time, go into it and look at all the different situations. But I'll read verse 17, because this kind of shows the characteristic that they had of their own short-sightedness and not realizing the situation that they were in, sort of like one that is sleeping. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The Lord gives them counsel here, but I'd like to look at the 20th verse. And when we've got to these situations where we have left the Lord out of our life and we've sought to do our own thing, what the flesh desires to do, the Spirit attempts to present the Word of God to us, and the flesh attempts to take everything it can get, and they're opposed to each other. And so the 20th verse, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. The Lord desires communion with everyone. And it says, behold, if any man hear my voice. You know, that one in Galatians 5 is so similar in so many ways to the one in Revelation 7. In Romans 7. Even though they have the Spirit, they're not walking in it. There's no outward testimony that that's a condition that they're really in. And the answer is the same thing. We have to open the door to the Lord's knocking and allow Him into our life, that we can have communion with Him and be occupied with Him. And the Lord desires to bring us into tremendous blessing. I'd also turn to Song of Solomon, chapter 5. And here is one that is in the condition of sleeping. She's laid down in her bed. And verse 2, I sleep, but my heart waketh. Perhaps your heart is awakening right now. Perhaps you realize, wow, I've gone a long way off. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. Do we realize that the Lord is desiring communion in our life now? That He wants an intimate relationship? And He says, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. Have we listened to Him when He's asking for His proper position in our life? Are we willing to grant the Lord the place in our life of priority, preeminence in our life? That everything that we do is... I like very well the question was presented yesterday. If we're asking, is this something that is good or not? Is this something that I can do, or is this sin? If we're asking that question, we're asking the wrong question. We need to be asking the question, is this what the Lord has for me? Is this what the Lord would have me to do? If we have something to say, is it for edification? And it's interesting here, in this place, that the man would say, my undefiled. We've been given a new position in Christ. We are not seen by God as being in the flesh. It says we know no man after the flesh. We're seen in a new position. And her response is so sad, and it's been the response of my heart so many times. She says, I've put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? And sometimes what we have in the world we value too much to give up for Christ. I hope this isn't our case. I hope that we can realize that the things that we have that are temporal, like our brother brought out the trees in that front yard of that property. And the man said, oh, those look like some nice trees, and didn't realize that the trees were not at all what his blessing was. His blessing was going to be a house that the trees were in the way of. Are we allowing the things of this life? Maybe it's so many different things. Maybe we like to watch movies or be caught up with comedians or whatever it may be. There's so many different things that would just seek to distract our life from Christ. Do we value them too much that when the Lord says, I want the first place, that we say, well, I have these other things. I'd like to make a little room for them. I'd have to give up this. I'd have to give up that. It isn't worth it. And finally, the response is, this man has to put his hand by the hole in the door. I don't know how doors were designed back then. Perhaps you had to put your hand in to flip up a latch or something. But if we look at the hands of the Lord Jesus and see what He's done for us on the cross, we see what He's laid down for us. Is there a response? is a response. May there be a response. If there is life, there should be a response. And when we're occupied, when this one goes out of this room, she goes around and she's seeking that one. And they ask her, "What is your beloved above another beloved?" And she's just entirely occupied with him. May each one of us be like that. And when we're occupied with Christ, we are not in a position where we think that the flesh and the spirit are fighting against each other in our life, and they're having an effect and they're getting us lost, because we're occupied with him. And just look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. "For the love of Christ constraineth us." May we be drawn to him by the cords of love, and seeing that he's died for us so that we can walk an acceptable life before him, and not go back and put ourselves in the situation where we are trying to meet a certain set of standards or trying not to do certain things, because that is not the position we've been brought into. We've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. And may we have Christ always before us. One more verse in, chapter 1 and verse 10. 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." Sometimes we just have to believe what we believe, and we will be kept.
yourselves. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for this time that we've had before us. The prophets have spoken, two or three. And our judgment is we have heard Thy voice. We ask Thy blessing on that which we have heard, that we would be like Abraham, who looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. That we would be like David, that despite great failure, his hope, our God, was in Thee. And our God, give us to walk in the Spirit, to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Father, we own our weakness, and we just would pray for Thy blessing on these portions to our hearts. We give thanks in the worthy and precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.